All U.S. forces are due to leave Iraq by the end of this year. The White House lobbied for a new agreement that would allow a contingent of soldiers to stay in country, but the Iraqi government wouldn't agree to give those troops immunity from prosecution. So, what kind of Iraq will the Americans be leaving behind? The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse has been traveling the country to find out.
Camp Kalsu must be the busiest military truck stop in Iraq. There are dozens of armored vehicles driving onto this base, creating a massive cloud of dust. They're heading south towards the border with Kuwait. They're just coming here to refuel and resupply, pick up some equipment before they go on to leave the country.
There is some apprehension. I mean, we're humans, and in the end, you got to feel for them.
That's Major Tim Draves. He's one of the officers in charge of operations here as convoy after convoy snakes its way through the base. This war has cost America over $700 billion. That's a low estimate. Nearly 4,500 soldiers have lost their lives. And so, as they pack up, some are inevitably asking the question, was it all worth it?
And some of the strife that there's going to go on after we leave. But that's just some of the unknowns.
Unknowns, known or unknown, are no longer part of the Pentagon narrative. Lieutenant Colonel Jason Kidder, the camp's executive officer, is more on message.
I'm proud every day. I know our soldiers are proud. And I see the neighborhoods now with the markets open, and they have running water, and they have electricity. Cooperation between the U.S. military and the Iraqi government really brought civilization back to a tolerable level here.
Well, just outside the base in the local town, Iskenderiya, things look rather different. Hussein Matar, a taxi driver, does not share the colonel's pride or his optimism.
The Americans invaded to liberate us from Saddam Hussein, but things became even worse. We still have no water, no electricity. Where is it? Iraq has been destroyed.
The cost of the war to the United States is dwarfed by the price paid by Iraqis. Conservative estimates put the number of people killed since 2003 in excess of 100,000. People still live with the daily fear of violence, and the country's infrastructure is still in tatters. So what's left then for Iraqis asking the question, what have the Americans ever done for us? Well, there is democracy and freedom of speech. In February, as protests swept across the Arab world, Iraqis too came out to demonstrate. They wanted better public services, an end to corruption. These were scenes unthinkable under Saddam Hussein's rule. But, as it turned out, in Iraq, old habits die hard.
For 40 minutes, they chased us, shooting. These would be security forces.
The eyes of the world were focused elsewhere in the Middle East. But Daniel Smith, an independent journalist and researcher based in Baghdad, was there, and he saw everything.
After the demonstration, four journalists who were picked up at a cafe on the other end of town, and arrested and threatened with rape. You know, in the months that followed after that, there was a lot of big public smear campaign on the side of the government on state television talking about being Baathists or Baathist supporters or wanting to bring down the government.
In recent weeks, hundreds of people have been arrested across Iraq accused of being part of a Baathist terrorist plot. Clearly, there are people here who are bent on a path of violence and terror. But it's hard to avoid the conclusion that in some cases, at least, the Baathist Al-Qaeda label is used to silence awkward critics.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
After the invasion, the process of de-Baathification removed a largely Sunni elite from power and replaced it with leaders from Iraq's Shiite majority. It's these people who have, on paper, gained the most from the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. There can be few more vivid demonstrations of the rise of Shiite power in today's Iraq than to come here to Sadr City at Friday prayers. Hundreds upon hundreds of men chanting, "Down, down with America." The man himself, Muqtada al-Sadr, the Shiite cleric whom these people follow, is mostly resident in Iran these days. But his men once fought the American occupying forces, and their withdrawal at the end of next month will be seen by many as his victory.